So welcome to this session. My name is Laurent Bugnon, and I work for a small firm called Identity Mine. And we are specialists in user experience. So we work a lot with all kinds of exciting technologies, especially XAML-based technologies. And as such, we are very, very excited by Windows Phone 7. We have already started developing quite early last year. And today, I'm going to talk to you about Windows Phone 7, and in this session, I'm going to give you an overview. So this is a basic session, starting up from scratch. We're also going to do a little bit of code, so don't be afraid. It's not just slides. But first of all, I want to give you a little bit an idea of what makes us excited about Windows Phone 7. Generally speaking, there is a big mobile phenomenon going on right now. Interestingly, we, people in this room, the geeks, we knew that all along, okay? Already in 1987, I remember going to a shop and having an Apple Newton in my hands. And I can tell you, if it had been just a couple of hundred francs a little bit cheaper, I would have bought one because I was so excited about that. Later, we had the Palm devices, and I'm pretty sure many of you older guys like me had one. I sure had one in 96 already. I ordered my first Palm from the US because you couldn't find it in Europe then. Palm was actually a pretty cool platform. We had a huge ecosystem of applications. There was no marketplace, but we had a lot of those small apps. A lot of people were developing for that. And it was very vibrant. It was still a niche product, however. The public had not caught on the mobile platform yet. With tablet PCs, Microsoft was probably 10 years too early. Okay, we had a product which was very exciting. I have a PC, my laptop here is a tablet. It's actually a four-touch point, multi-touch tablet. It's a little bit old now, it's about 2.5 years, so I'm already thinking of the next one. But still, it was pretty exciting to have something that you can carry around. And now, since a couple of years, finally the public is catching on. With iPhones, with iPads, with Android phones, with tablets, with Windows Phone 7 now, we have a very rich ecosystem that finally somebody, everybody has in the pocket. So this is a huge market for us, and this is also a huge opportunity to share our excitement about the mobile phenomenon with all those people. There is also another phenomenon which is playing, which is the natural user interface phenomenon, the NUI phenomenon. Until now, we were programming with so-called GUI. The mouse is a very old device. The first mice were developed in the 1950s, end of 50s, beginning of 60s. It's very old. And yet, all those years, we have been working with mice devices. And we have had to cope with the fact that we have to translate a horizontal movement into a vertical movement of the cursor on the screen. Okay, this is a very difficult abstraction to get. When you teach a child using the mouse, you have to teach them how to do it. Okay, I remember my daughter, my younger daughter, when she was 2 years old, she was playing with the mouse for the first time. When she reached the end of the table with the mouse, she told me, okay, I'm done now, I cannot go further. So I had to actually teach her, no, you have to lift the mouse, move it, put it down, and then you can continue. Okay, it's very difficult, there is really a disconnect there. Nowadays, we talk a lot about natural user interface. And natural user interface, to be clear, is not just about touch. Okay? It's also about speech. How can you command your PC using the voice or your phone? It's also about using your whole body as an input device with the Microsoft Kinect, for example. We even have some crazy things like trying to control PCs with the brain. We actually have such a device. It does work. Not very well, but it does work. So you have a whole lot of new input devices. Notice that I didn't mention the keyboard here, because I think that keyboards are still, in my personal opinion, and I know a lot of people share that, the best input devices for text. Okay? So that's something a little bit different. But for mice, at least we can get rid of them finally. Or maybe not quite now, but soon. NUI is not new. Already in 1984, Bill Buxton, who is now a principal researcher at Microsoft, was working on multi-touch with his team. And by his own words, they were not the first. So Nui is already quite old in terms of research. And we had a lot of exciting products coming out of this research. For example, Microsoft Surface is directly a product which comes from Microsoft research. Also, all the smartphones, the slates, this is all a direct product of all this research. Now we reap the benefits of all that research. We have multi-touch and also new concepts like the Kinect. I cannot tell you how excited I am about the Kinect. Kinect is the fastest selling electronic device ever. Forget the iPhone, ever. Okay? There is a huge excitement about Kinect. And now you can, very soon, program on the PC using Kinect. You can already now, with open source drivers, and very soon the official drivers are going to be released. Program in WPF with the Kinect. That's really cool. So finally, technology is catching up with Hollywood. Okay? Remember the Minority Report? Tom Cruise was using a very advanced user interface. That's really cool. Huh? That's very futuristic. But maybe you don't remember he had to wear a glove to use that. That's so 2000. Wearing a glove to control a computer. Come on, who wants that? Okay? Now we have Kinect, right? So we are already advanced. Okay? We start to see a lot of smartphones on TV shows. There is a Microsoft Surface in CSI. All right? So now we live in the future. With Windows Phone 7, you have a computer in the pocket. So if we check the specs, those are the minimum specs that every Windows Phone 7 device has to have, at least. Okay? It's actually better than a computer because my computer doesn't have a GPS, an accelerometer, a compass, and certainly not a 5-megapixel camera. All right? So we have more power in the pocket than on the desktop. There is a joke going on Twitter those days. Somebody said, well, we have as much power as NASA had to launch people to the moon in the pocket now. And the funny thing is that we use that to throw birds at pigs. Okay? That's a veiled reference, or maybe not so veiled, I see, to Angry Birds, the game which is coming on Windows Phone 7 on 25th of May. Now, I'm not a gamer myself, but I have a lot of friends who actually love that game, and they told me it's a great way to waste your time. So, with Windows Phone 7, we also have a new UI concept. The idea is to glance and go. Okay, as soon as possible, you should be able to check your phone and see what's going on and then put it back in the pocket in order to concentrate on important things like life. We have life tiles, which means that on the home page, you can add information, for example, the current weather or the number of unread emails, etc. The legibility, the readability is very important, and Microsoft spent a lot of time on that. You have to be able to read even very small text very easily in one glance. Okay, so there is a lot of research around that in terms of design. Also, we have the concept of authentically digital. Your phone, the screen is flat, so don't try to make it look like somebody which it is not. Okay, authentically, it is actually a digital device. Why start to play with shadows and gloss, which are actually confusing the user? Okay? Metro is a very clean interface. It is directly inspired from the underground signage that we have around the world. And those underground and also airports, sorry, so all transportation system, basically. Now, what we can see is that if I'm in Singapore, even though I don't speak Mandarin, I'm able to find my way in the airport. If I'm in Tokyo, I certainly don't speak Japanese, I'm able to find my way. If I go to Dubai, I will still be able to find my way. This is a universal language. Everybody knows that. So we have clear icons. We have color. Okay? We don't have gloss or things that could confuse the eye. And we have some clear typography as well, which makes signage very clear. The Windows Phone is directly inspired from this. So if you check your homepage on the Windows Phone, very fast you know what is going on. You understand this language. Metro is a set of guidelines. Those are not rules, okay? You are free to come with your own inspiration, with your own creativity. But if you use Metro as a basis for your creativity, you will create an application that your user will immediately know how to use and will immediately recognize, okay? The idea is really be creative, but also think of a unified user experience. We also have a new font. I mentioned already the readability, that's very important. This new font called Sego WP for Windows Phone comes in various declinations, light, semi-light, semi-bold, bold. And this font, Microsoft spent a lot of time making it as readable as possible. So you can have large text, which jump to your attention immediately, but you can also have some very, very small text. And this is quite interesting when you use the Windows Phone 7, you notice those very, very small labels, for example, in the settings, which are still very, very well readable. It's a graphical line. It is beautiful by default, which means that if you create an application and you are not a designer, your application will look good. But it still leaves some room for creativity for you, and you can create truly beautiful applications, for example, working in collaboration with designers. I want to show you a video. This video has been made by a member of the community. So this is not a Microsoft video. This person, Brandon Foy, is 24 years old, and he made that video on YouTube. First of all, he made the first video, which was so acclaimed in the community that Microsoft asked him to make the second video for MIX, the MIX conference, which was a few weeks ago in Las Vegas. So I just want to show you this video and hope that you get inspired. So we should have images, so let's try that again. Okay. So I had the chance to talk to Brandon in Las Vegas a couple of weeks ago, and I can tell you he really loves Windows Phone, okay? He's a very creative young guy. And by the way, if you go to watch this video, if they reach 200,000 views on YouTube, they will turn the video into an advertisement on TV. So make him a favor, go and tell your friends to go and watch the video. What I would like to show you now is a demo of an actual phone. And this is my own phone, okay? So nobody call me, please. Now the picture is hopefully as good as it gets, or maybe a little bit better. We will try to make it work and see how that goes. Unfortunately, with the camera, it's a little bit difficult, but let's try that. I really wanted to show you a real phone because we always see those demos, those kind of Hello World demos. So the first thing we notice here is that we have some live tiles. For example, the tile here on the top, it's not very clear, but those are my contacts, okay? And the contacts are actually an aggregation of people from my Facebook, from my Outlook Exchange, and maybe a few other systems as well. Which is quite cool because it allows me to get information from Facebook that I didn't have before. For example, the picture of this contact is a picture that comes directly from Facebook. Here I have the latest people that I interacted with. And for example, I'm going to try to show you something I'm sure you never saw before. I'm actually going to call Stefano because that's a phone. I just need to go and turn off the AirPod mode. I was a little bit too fast with that. Here we go. Nobody saw my secret pin, huh? Okay. Now I have the back button, so it's very easy for me to go back where I was, okay? And now I can try to call Stefano, and this is actually a phone. You can actually place calls. Now I'm sure Stefano is not going to answer. Hey, Stefano. So anyway, you see that you can do calls. You have additional features, for example, speaker, mute, etc. It's all very clear. If you were listening to music at the same time, the music will stop automatically. If you're on Bluetooth, which I do a lot, that will go immediately back to the music. Contacts are pretty cool. I can, for example, go here to my wife's profile and see what she wrote on Facebook. When I was in Las Vegas for my birthday, she actually shot a video. I was in Las Vegas and it was my birthday, so those were unrelated events. My wife shot a video for me of my daughter singing happy birthday, and I was able immediately to see it in YouTube using here the phone directly. So that was pretty cool. You have a very good picture application. I have to disconnect from the computer to show you that. Here we go. Very nice picture application where I can see all my pictures at a glance, including pictures that I don't have on the phone. Those pictures here are my pictures, my picture album from Facebook. For example, I can here load all those pictures through Wi-Fi. I can go and see one. I can comment on them if I want, and I can save it to the phone if I decide to. Also, another application which is pretty cool is the Zune. And here you have a system which is pretty amazing because it's integrated. For example, I was watching the conference dinner of, there is every year a press representative dinner where the president is always there of the United States, and it's really interesting to see. It's usually very funny. That's YouTube. I can just start it, and this is where I left before. So if the Wi-Fi allows me, it's going to start and show me the video immediately where I left. Okay, here it cannot load. Probably the Wi-Fi is a little bit overloaded. I have the latest songs, podcasts that I listen to. I have also a list of additional external third-party applications that you can launch directly from here, for example, to stream some radio, etc. Windows Phone is not just about play. Even though you have a game integration, which is probably one of the best right now, unfortunately the color is not very good, but you can go ahead and play Uno on the phone, for example. And this is all Xbox Live, which means that if you gain points here on the phone, your points will be loaded also on your Xbox. My kids are actually earning points for me. I'm very bad at that. As I said, it's not just play, it's also work. And you have Office, we see it more or less. OneNote is great on the phone. You have immediate synchronization with the PC and also with the web, so you can access your notes everywhere. You also have Excel, Word, PowerPoint, so I am able to, for example, receive a PowerPoint presentation, modify it on the fly, send it back to the sender. SharePoint integration. So this is very easy to work on the phone. Something else that I do all the time on the phone is using Outlook. I see that I have to wait a little bit until I get the picture. Outlook is so good on the phone that during the day, I don't have Outlook open on my PC, because email is really a source of disturbance, so I prefer to have my phone vibrating in my pocket where I can ignore it and do important things like, you know, working, and then go back to my email when I have a moment. Okay? So I don't let myself be disturbed by email anymore. I do all my email on the phone during the day. If it's really important, okay, then probably they are going to call me anyway. So there are also a lot of third-party applications, Facebook. I'm going to show you a few that we collaborated on, for example, Twitter. And Twitter is a good example of an application where we used Metro as a guideline, but we also added our own creativity. This is inspired by Metro, but we have our own theme, our own color, for example. So here you have Twitter in your pocket, and you can do a lot of things. Tweet your location, tweet a picture. Of course, you can disable the location if you're paranoid. But what I mean is that you really have the full power of Twitter in your pocket directly. Another application which is pretty impressive in terms of UX is IMDb. This is the Internet Movie Database. And here you have, I think I have a small issue with the Wi-Fi, so let me just connect back. And I'm going to use the connection of the computer instead. When you connect the USB cable to the computer, it's actually, if you don't have Wi-Fi, it's actually piggybacking on the computer connection. So this can be useful. No, it doesn't want to run. Well, believe me, that's a beautiful application. Okay. Seriously, it's an application in which we used Metro, but we really added a lot of creativity, especially with a lot of pictures taken from films. Let's hope we have a little bit better chance with the SBB application, the SBB mobile. And here, this is also, if we give just a moment to get the picture a little bit better, okay? This is also an application which is inspired by Metro, but as you see, we have clearly the corporate design of SBB. Okay, and we work quite intensively with SBB together until they were satisfied with the design. And here you can go ahead, look for connections. You can also buy a ticket directly on your phone. You have the possibility to use, for example, this is what I loaded this morning to come here, and I have the possibility to use Bing Maps in order to see where my position is, where I left from. This is my house, the green one, and the orange one is the first station where I had to actually climb into the bus. So you also have your own location, which currently is somewhere in Basel, so that can help you if you are looking for a station. You can immediately use that to walk, and that's going to load in a moment. Here we go. Another cool application, I don't know if you saw, but Stefano Male made an application specially for Tech Days. So if you don't have it yet and you have a Windows phone, go ahead and load it. It's pretty nice because it allows you, for example, to communicate with the speakers directly. Here you can go into the list of speakers, and when you locate me, you have access to my information, for example, to let me know how awesome this session was. Or not. I take constructive criticism anytime. And adding a new app is very easy. You just go to the marketplace. Of course. Okay, I'm going to try to search and hope that the wireless gods are with me. Okay, I should have Wi-Fi. Last try, and then we will go. Yeah, I think there is a problem with the wireless right now. On the marketplace, you can just search for your applications, and there are quite a lot of applications for the Swiss market right now. A thing which is nice to know is that it's very easy to go here and, for example, to pin, if I want to pin Adobe Reader, for example, to the screen, I have here a menu. The first menu item says pin to start. And now I can here press and hold, and I can reorganize my screen as I want. So it's very easy to get your own personalized screen. Okay, so that was a glance, if you want, into a real phone that I'm actually using every day. And I would like to talk to you a little bit about coding for Windows Phone 7. So coding nowadays is done. Coding nowadays is done with two frameworks. You have Silverlight for applications, and all the applications that I showed you were programmed in Silverlight, except the games. Okay? And then you have XNA for games. I'm not an XNA coder, so I cannot tell you too much about it, except that it's a framework which is very strongly oriented at three dimension, and it's also a framework which is very performant. Okay? Right now, you have to choose between Silverlight and XNA if you do a new application. In Mango, which is the next update, you will have the possibility to integrate some XNA elements into Silverlight applications and vice versa. So that's going to be to open even more creativity. We are going to talk about Mango a little bit later. You have probably the best tools in the mobile landscape right now. When you install Windows Phone 7 tools, if you have already Visual Studio, be it Standard, Pro, Ultimate, you will get Windows Phone 7 directly integrated into that. So it's the environment that you know. If you have Expression Blend already, that's the same. It integrates directly inside there. However, if you don't have those yet, then you will get a free version. In the case of Visual Studio, it's Visual Studio Express. And in the case of Expression Blend, it is the Expression Blend 4 for Windows Phone 7. And all that is free. So the tools are free. You don't have to pay a dime to start developing on Windows Phone 7 right now. You have to pay something if you want to publish your application or load them on a phone. That's another story. We will talk about that in a moment. But if you want to start developing, you don't pay. And if you have a team of developers who is already doing .NET, be it ASP.NET or even, you know, WPF Silverlight with XAML, then they are at home because this is the same. Okay? Same tools, same framework. So now we are going to make a demo where I'm going to build an application from scratch. Is the source code big enough or should I pump the volume a bit behind? Can you read? Yeah? Okay. So I'm going to leave it like this. Like this, we have a little bit more space horizontally. Okay? So if you want to create a new Windows Phone application, you just go to File, New Project. And then you select Windows Phone application. You have a few variations, but typically I start with the first one. Now, I created here a Windows Phone 7 application already to just go a little bit faster. And for those of you who know Silverlight, you see that it's the well-known file structure. You have XAML for the front end. You have C-sharp code. You can also program in VB.NET. Here I'm going with C-sharp. And you have a couple of additional files. Here, application icon and background. Those are the icons that you see on the home page. And the splash screen, this is the screen that you see. Okay, it's just images. The rest is pretty basic Silverlight, as we know it. What I'm going to do now is an application which connects to the CNN.com RSS feed and loads the feed, and then we are going to show some details. So it's quite basic, but it's still a connected application. First thing I'm going to do is add a new folder, which I call model. In this folder, I'm going to add a class, and this is going to be my data object, if you want. So I name this news item. And the implementation of this class is very simple. It's really a simple data object. And you see that every news item has a title, a summary, and a URI which is pointing to the full version of this link on the CNN.com website. Now I'm going to go into the main page. And I'm going to build a simple application, so I'm not really following the best practices in the branch. Later this afternoon, we have a deep dive session where I'm going to show you how to build really an application how an application is structured according to best practices. Here I'm going straight in the view and I'm going to add code, which means I will have a tightly coupled application, but that's an overview, okay? So first of all, I'm going to add here a collection which is going to hold the news items. This collection is an observable collection, which means that when I add an item to it, or when I remove an item, or when I change the sorting order, it's going to be reflected automatically in the UI through data binding. Now that I have that, I'm going to do a little bit UI. So I'm going to open this application in Expression Blend. And notice that I'm opening exactly the same files. I'm working with exactly the same files in Blend and Studio. And I can choose which environment I prefer depending on what I'm doing. I should probably have done that before, but let's just give it a moment to open. So to be clear, everything that you do in Expression Blend can also be done in XAML, okay? Nothing is hidden. Blend is acting immediately on the XAML. However, there are tasks which are easier to do in XAML. For example, if you have to copy large chunks of XAML, it's a little bit easier to do in Visual Studio. And there are tasks, visual things, creating animations, etc., which are really easier to do in Expression Blend. So you can choose the environment that you prefer. Admitting that it does start. Here we go. Now, Expression Blend is sometimes a little bit scary for developers because it's very black. Okay, that's a designer UX. But please, please, please try it out. Okay, I give sessions Blend for developers, and I love to see, you know, people's eyes lighting up when they see what you can do visually in Expression Blend. It's really a very cool tool. Okay, here we go. So now I have my page, and we see immediately that we have the distinct Metro look and feel. So now I can go in my page. I'm going to just remove this content panel because I'm not going to use it here. And instead, I'm going to add a row to the grid. I'm going to make this row with a fixed height of 80 pixels. And then I'm going to take a button, and I'm going to add the button to my UI down there. Notice that without doing anything, I already have the Metro look and feel. Okay? So by default, you will have that experience. Okay. Now I'm going to change the label of this button. I'm going to call that refresh. And now I'm going to set the click event. So I'm changing to the event now, and I'm typing here refresh. Let's follow conventions. Here we are, refresh, click. And by pressing enter, I'm going to go back into Visual Studio, where I'm going to be able to do the rest of the code. Now I have here, didn't make it. Okay, let's try again. It doesn't want to make it. Okay. So I'm just going to go here into the XAML in that case. And as I said, everything you do in XAML, everything you do in Blend can be done in XAML. So I'm simply going to go here and add the event handler from here by selecting navigate to event handler. Oh, here it comes. It was just a little bit late. Okay. Now I can add here a little bit of code. And what I'm going to do now, sorry for that. What I'm going to do now is use a web client, which is a simple way to place a web request. And I'm going to go ahead and load the CNN.com RSS feed. Since this is an asynchronous operation, like all networking operations in Silverlight, I'm going to have a completed event, and this event is going to be called when I get the result. First of all, I'm going to check if there was an error, because who knows? And then I'm going to use a library which is called link to go and parse the XML. Link is a pretty advanced way to create queries against pretty much any kind of collections of objects, including XML files. Now, I need to add a reference in order to get the full power. And this reference is actually part of the Windows Phone framework. So here I have systemxml.link. Now, you could also go ahead and add reference to projects or to browse for an external DLL. Typically, DLLs who work on Silverlight 3 will pretty much work without a glitch on Windows Phone 7. Okay? Silverlight 4, not quite yet. It's coming. Just a little bit patience. But right now, we have Silverlight 3. So here I'm using the built-in Silverlight link, or rather system.xml.link. And this is going to allow me to load my document, first of all, into a string reader. So I'm going to convert that into a reader object. And then I'm going to load that into a next document, which is a special type of XML document. Then I'm going to actually create the list of news item. And this is one line of code, or rather it would be one line of code if I had not formatted it on multiple lines. Okay? I'm going to go and get the element named RSS, which is a root element. I'm going to take the element named channel, which is inside this element. I'm going to take all the item elements inside there. I'm going to take 10 of those. Here I could go ahead and order them by title, for example, if I wanted. And then I'm going to use a select method to transform those XML elements into news items. So pretty easy to do some XML parsing. Now that I have a list of news items, I can go ahead and add them to my observable collection, which means that the UI will be automatically updated. So now I need a little bit UI to show those items. And to do this, I'm going to go back in Blend. I'm going to just reload the project. And then I'm going to add a list item, which is called a list box. That's probably the list item that we use the most in Silverlight in general, and especially on the phone. I'm going to data bind the item source, or the source of the items. I forgot to do something. Sorry for that. What I would like to do here, since I have my collection, I need to initialize it. Otherwise, I'm going to have a nasty null reference exception, and you're going to think I'm dumb. And nobody wants that. So I'm going to do here observable collection. And then I'm still going to do something. I'm going to set the data context of the page to the page itself. Now, this line is not very nice. Okay? As I said, this afternoon we will see how to make it nicer. Okay? Here I have a tight coupling between my page and the data context and the service and everything. But that's okay, it's just to show you what you can do here. Okay, so now in Blend, I can actually go ahead and data bind. And I'm going to data bind to the data context, which is a page, to the news collection. And as you see, Blend doesn't like it too much. Okay? The problem is exactly what I said, it's not using the best practices. I do, however, have the possibility to force Blend to create some items when it is in design mode. We call that design time data. So what I'm going to do now is add here, first of all, a new folder, because I like to keep things a little bit separate. Inside this folder, I will add a new class and call that design news service. Here we go. And into this class, I'm going to simulate the creation of those news items. So basically, I'm simulating the fact that I'm connecting to the CNN RSS feed. So I will still have my observable collection. Okay. I will still have my news item. And here I will create 15 dummy items, if you want. Now, I need to tell to the main page, I need to tell Blend that it has to use that in design mode. For this, I have to extend the XAML. The X in XAML means extensible. So I'm going to say I want to import this design namespace into XAML so that I can use the object. So I do XMLNS. I'm going to name that design. XMLNS. equals. And now if I go down, I'm probably not going to see anything because I didn't build. Let's build first. That's okay, but now I should be able to see the namespace in IntelliSense, which is easier because I never remember the exact syntax. It doesn't work, so let me do that cleaner. Here we go. Now I'm going to build. Okay, almost. Okay, now I can add my XMLNS. Equals, and this time I will see my design namespace in the list. It should be somewhere here. Okay. So now that I have imported the namespace, it means that I can use those objects. And I'm going to tell Blend, when you are in design mode, you need to use something else. Okay? When you are in design mode, in Blend language, is said D colon. Okay? That's only in design mode, not at runtime. And I have a property called data context. So I can say, when you are in design mode, instead of doing the data context equals this that I did in the page, you're going to use something else. Now I have the possibility here to create a design instance of type design, design new service. Okay, I have to type it, but I have IntelliSense to help me, so it's not too bad. And then I'm going to say is design time creatable equals true, which means that at design time, it's actually going to create an instance of this design news service. Now I'm going to build all that. And now if I go back into Expression Blend, we will see that we have the 15 dummy items that I created as soon as I reload the files. Here we go. So now I have something that I can design against, okay, which is pretty cool because it's very hard to design when you don't see what you design. Believe me. So now I can go here and create a data template. But before that, I'm just going to make something very quick so that my items automatically take the full width. It's just a small trick, not super important, but I'm just here going to create a new item container style and add a content presenter to that. This is not the actual data template yet, okay? Let's make it take the whole width and height and check that my grid is also taking the whole width and height. Okay. Now I can go ahead and design the actual data template. So I'm going to tell Blend or to tell Silverlight this is how a news item looks like. So I create a new data template. By default, it's empty. I'm going to replace this grid with a stack panel. And then I'm going to add a toggle button to that. Now, this is a bit surprising because a toggle button really doesn't look like a news item. Okay? However, I want one feature of the toggle button. I want two states. I want a normal state and an expanded state. So I'm going to build a template for this toggle button. I'm just using the functionality here. I'm just going to add here a separator. Let's set the stroke to null. The fill, I'm going to set the fill to the phone accent brush, which is automatically going to take the accent color of the phone. By default, it's blue. On my phone, it's purple. Maybe you have green or lime or magenta. And then I'm going to make this 2 pixels high. And I'm going to add a little bit margin to make it nicer. 24 pixels on each side. 24 is a magic number when you use margins on Windows Phone. It's everywhere 24. Sometimes 12, but usually 24. Okay, now I said that this toggle button doesn't look like a news item. It is a fact, it is a case. So I'm going to change the way that it looks simply by creating an empty template for that. Again, I'm going to replace this grid with a stack panel. And I'm going to add, let's add a little bit margin here. Here we go. And now I'm going to add a text block. Okay, notice that I am in the context of my application. I have my 15 items, which allows me to bind that to the title of the item, and I can do that visually in Blend. And now I have my dummy titles coming up. So I can change here the font to light, because it's a little bit nicer, especially when I boost the size, because you're designing for a phone, okay? The phone actually looks pretty much something like that or even smaller, okay? So you need to give space to your UI. I'm going to add here a little bit margin on top and below. Here we go. And now I'm going to add another stack panel. And this is a stack panel that I'm going to use to expand or collapse my item based on the state of the toggle button. Here, let's add a button, and we are going to use this button to navigate to the actual site where the news item is located. Here we go. I'm going to remove the border because I want it to look a little bit more like a link. And then I'm going to set minus 24 margin, and let's set the foreground again to the accent brush of the phone. Now I need to add a little bit information to this button. I'm going to set the tag of the button through a binding to the link of the item. Like this, the button will have the information directly, and in the event handler, it's easier to access. Finally, I still need the summary with another text block. And here, I'm also going to make a data binding, this time to the summary of the item. Okay, now at this point, my stack panel is expanded, so I want it to be collapsed. So I'm going to go here and set the height to 0. And I want to say, when I tap on the item, I want it to expand. So what happens is that since this is a toggle button, the state is going to change to checked. So when I am going to checked, I want to expand the height to 200 pixels. And then I want to do that in approximately 800 milliseconds. And I want to do that with an acceleration because I want my movement to be a little bit more natural. So I'm going to take an exponential acceleration, which means it's going to start fast and then end slow at the end. I can visualize that directly here by switching from one item to the other. On the phone, it's going to look even better, but it's already a way to visualize what you are doing. Last thing I need to do is add an event handler to this button. So let's try again this time. Navigate click. Okay, communicating, that's always good. Let's reload and see if this is coming or not. Okay, finally, yes. So now when I press on navigate, what I'm going to do is create a new web browser task, which is a way to tell the Windows Phone web browser, hey, I want you to load the URL, which means I'm going to exit my application and go to the URL. So now at this point, I'm ready to test. Let's test in the emulator first. Okay, my application is loading. I could go and debug and do everything that we normally do at this point. Refresh. Yes. Of course, the news today are not very, happy and everything, but this is what I have here. And if I press here, it's going to open. Now we see that the behavior is still a little bit shaky on the emulator, okay, which is normal because we develop for the phone, actually. So if I want to see the full beauty of my animations. I'm going to simply switch to device. My device is connected with a simple USB cable. It's an unlocked device, okay? But you can take any device off the shelf and unlock it to run your apps. So now if I, just checking that it is connected through Zune, okay? And now I can actually go ahead and run. And if I switch here to full screen, let's see if that works out. Okay, so now I have my application loaded. I can press on refresh. And I see, again, the items being loaded, and I see the animation going on. I can press on the Read More button and automatically change to the web browser where the full version of the article is going to be loaded. So here, in about 20 minutes, we created a connected application to internet, which is using the phone infrastructure. Okay, this afternoon, we will go even deeper into that. I'm going to finish with a few words about publishing Windows Phone 7 applications. If you want to publish, you need to pay a fee of $99, and this allows you to publish up to 100 free applications per year and updates to those applications, okay? Or an unlimited number of paid applications. This is unlimited on paid applications because Microsoft is taking their share on that, obviously. Right now, I would say the workflow, or especially before the latest update that we got, was a little bit, had a few hiccups, okay? It has been under scrutiny, but the Microsoft team, the Windows Phone team, is doing a great job listening to the community and improving that. So we have been talking to them a few times about things we didn't like. Okay, this is getting better. It's going to be even better with the new update, which is coming later this year. And then what's going to happen? Well, the first thing which is very exciting is a Mango update, which is going to bring approximately 1,500 new APIs to the phone. So now we will get a phone which is very, very competitive. Okay, for example, background agent to do multitasking. Raw camera access to do augmented reality, barcode scanner, image editing, etc., etc. You will have also sockets, the possibility to do a chat program. And for example, Skype has already been announced for the Windows Phone 7 with the next update. You will have IE9, the same version that you have on the desktop, will be running on the phone with HTML5. You will have SQL CE, lightweight database, and more. You also have improved tools, and those tools, we are going to get them quite soon, okay, before the summer. We'll get a profiler, which allows you to analyze where you have issues with the performance of your application, because performance is very important on such a small device. You will have location simulation, the possibility to say in the emulator, I am at this point and I'm moving, so that you can debug directly on the emulator. Also, the possibility to simulate the orientation of the phone if you do games, etc., shake simulation, and more. And finally, I want to mention the developer conference at Anaheim. Okay, it is a conference previously known at PDC. It's not named PDC anymore. We don't know the name yet, because apparently there is something secret going on here. In September in Anaheim in California, and we are going to hear a lot on the future of Windows and obviously on the future of Windows Phone as well, because the two are really very strongly linked. More information can be found, first of all, this afternoon in this very room, in the deep dive session. Okay, this is going to be code intensive, so come prepared. Also, the Windows Phone App Hub is where you get started. You can get all the tools. You can register yourself as a developer. You can publish your applications. And you can also get all kinds of additional information in forums, news groups, etc. At this point, I still have a few minutes, I think, for Q&A. If you don't have time to ask a question or you're really too hungry, please feel free to go. I will be over lunch at the Ask the Experts table, so come and see me there. I'm also on Twitter, if you are on Twitter. And as I used to say, if you're not on Twitter, well, you should be, okay? Because nowadays, if you're a developer, this is where things are happening. So really try to do that. Feel free to contact me there. At this point, I want to thank you very much for your attention. And I do have some t-shirts. So t-shirts go to people who ask questions. Okay, first question. Raise hand. Yes. I think it's a very complementary landscape right now. And in fact, we rarely see an application which is running only on one system. There are a few advantages in Windows Phone, though. The first advantage that as a developer I'm very sensitive to is really the ease of development on Windows Phone, really. I'm a silver light guy, so obviously I'm going to say that, but you know, this is really very, very easy to develop applications there. And Blend is really, in terms of visual design, you can do all visually, so that allows you to create a cool application very fast. Now, that's one thing. Another thing is that there are people who don't like iPhones. Yeah, I know, right? It's a fairly old UI. I mean, you know, it has been there since 2007, right? People are in the mobile world. They want change. Every 2 years, they want something new. Now the something new is Windows Phone. Okay, in 2 years, I don't know, but you know, we will have other versions until then. So in my opinion, that's the two advantages. It's something else, okay, and also ease of development, absolutely. Okay? Please? You can come and pick your T-shirt, okay? Yeah, so the question was if you have to load Silverlight on the phone. The question is, the answer is no, you don't have to. This is already on the phone, okay? Which means that if you develop for the phone, it is Silverlight, but Silverlight for Windows Phone, okay? It's something slightly different than if you have it running on the browser. Right now, unfortunately, we cannot run Silverlight off the browser in the phone. It doesn't work right now, okay? We hope to see that coming. But right now, the version of Silverlight is really an application framework for the phone, and it is loaded as well as XNA that I mentioned before. Okay? I'm going to take in the back and then come back to you.
How do you get your phone unlocked?
That's a good question, actually. So your phone gets unlocked when you first register for a Windows Phone developer account. Okay? You have to pay your $99, and then you have your Windows Live ID. Okay? Then you go on the yes, I think I have it installed. You go here in the Start menu. And then under Windows Phone Developer Tools, there is here a Windows Phone Developer Registration Tool, which allows you to unlock up to 3 devices for one Live ID. Now, if you have more devices, my experience, especially if you're a firm, is that if you give a call to Microsoft, they can do something, okay? So if you give a call, maybe not, but contact the Windows Phone support team, they can help you there. But normally, per developer, 3 phones can be unlocked this way. You can also relock a phone and unlock another one. It does work, okay? I said,
why I cannot download .exe files?
Excel files? You can.
What?
EXE. Executables. That's another platform. That's the answer I can give you. Now, I do understand that, you know, for a lot of people, it's a bit of a pain, especially if you have been doing some, you know, Windows Mobile development, etc. The answer is that Windows Mobile came to a point where they just couldn't compete with the new user experience anymore. They had to reset and to go to something new. This is what we get right now. You know, again, sorry for all those people. Right now, I can tell you it's a lot of fun to develop for this platform. That's the best answer I can give you right now. Okay? Please?
What are the limitations if I'm trying to start developing with a locked phone? Sorry.
With a locked phone? Well, the limitation is pretty simple. You cannot load your application on it. So it's really a big limitation, you could say. You are able, so with a consumer phone, with an unlocked phone, with a locked phone, sorry, you can use it as a phone normally. You can download applications from the marketplace, but you cannot, what we call, sideload them using the USB cables that I was showing before. Okay?
Yeah, for the security, is there any antivirus or anything for the Windows Phone?
I don't know. So the best is go to talk to the Microsoft guys, because if they know, they can tell you. If they don't know, they can tell you. Who knows? Well, you have the standard encryption mechanisms, so HTTPS, you know, these kind of things. If you do web, obviously you want to encrypt that. You have, you know, the encryption libraries that, that run on Silverlight also run on the phone. So these kind of things is totally supported. Yeah, for more details, really, because here I'm a little bit out of my league, so maybe go and talk to the Microsoft people and they will advise you later. Okay? Yep. Absolutely. Totally, I get you. So the question is, what is happening with the corporate environment, right? Because you don't want to have an enterprise application in the marketplace. So there are two answers to that. The first answer is working now, and the next answer is probably going to come sometimes. The first answer, there is now already available, very recently, a so-called private marketplace, which means that you can load XAP files to a marketplace, and they are not going to be visible for people that you don't give, that don't have credentials, right? Now, the problem with that is that it's still on the web, okay? So it's still not a corporate marketplace like you mentioned, but it is anyway a possibility for you to publish an app, to have inside this app a signing mechanism, a login mechanism with username, password, etc. for your employees, and to have something which is available to them only. Now, why is that so, right? That's a big question. Why didn't they do an enterprise marketplace? The reason is simple. They wanted to target the consumer market first, okay? But that's Microsoft. Enterprise is never far behind, okay? So I think that very soon we will see some solutions. And I think that we will see some solutions in that field, okay? Right now, private marketplace is the best. There is also, by the way, a beta marketplace where, as a developer, you can go ahead and publish your app and then say to a number of friends, hey, go ahead and load the application, but it is beta, it's not sold yet or whatever. Other questions? Please.
What about the QR code? Will the Windows Phone support the QR code, or do you have any other ideas in future, like Kinect or something like that, some object to capture the...
Right now, I don't know. What we know right now about the future is Mango. Okay, in Mango, we don't have that kind of things yet. I saw already some videos where they had it running, but obviously it had been faked. So with fakes, you can do anything. Seriously, yes, that's an exciting prospect, but it's still probably a little bit in the future for now. Okay? Don't know, but I don't think so. I think the beta is really something else. I'm pretty sure, in fact. But you might want to check that out. It's very new. It was published, I think, last week or the week before that they were doing this. Okay? Uh-huh. So right now, the default mechanism that the marketplace has is not like that. When a user buys an application, and by the way, with $10, you're going to be very high. I mean, it's a very high price, right? Right now, for the apps, the strategy is to target low prices, typically 99 cents or, you know, I think in Swiss franc, it's 1.20 always, or maybe a little bit more, and to sell large numbers. So this particular strategy right now in the marketplace, in the default marketplace, is not integrated. Now, I believe that there are possibilities to do your own kind of billing mechanism inside the app, but it's not standard at all, and I'm not sure that it's really following the rules, okay? Typically, right now, maybe as a side story, people actually earn more not by selling their app, but by adding advertisement into the app. This is right now the best way to make money if you have a mobile app.
It's more about a line of business application.
Yeah.
I do not want to sell them. I give them a license.
Yeah.
To whatever. I want to sell them, let's say, for a month.
Right. Yeah, so usually what there are some applications who do that. Okay. For example, I have a Flickr account. I have a pro account, so I pay per year so much money. There is a Flickr app for Windows Phone 7. Typically, for this kind of scenario, you have a free version which has limited functionality or not, right? Up to you. And then what happens is that when you connect to the application. Then the server is going to verify your credentials, and this is rather the way it works. The application itself, typically for this kind of scenario, is free, but then you work with the account on the server to do that. SBB is doing the same. For example, when I buy tickets, I have an account for that. When I transmit my username password, the credentials are verified on the server. Okay? In that particular case, that would be true, yep. And, you know, they are watching you, right? So, any other questions or, yep, please? The share is 30%. Yeah. There is a small trick you have. It's not compulsory, but if you register yourself with the American tax system, the so-called, what do they call that? The IRS, thank you. If you register with them, then you get a little bit more money. The 30% are still taken by Microsoft, but in addition, the American tax system is going to take some money, except if you register with them. So it's really an advantage to register with them, and then this money will be paid to you in Switzerland, and then you will be taxed on this money in Switzerland, where the tax is lower. Okay? Because apparently we do that in Switzerland. Okay? It's I never went into that process, but as far as I know, it's approximately similar. Oh, you mean for the apps? Okay, because there is an approval process for the developer as well, right? You get a call from a firm asking you if you are indeed Mr., in my case, Laurent Bunion. That's fairly painless, really. It's very easy to do that. The other thing about the approval process, so as I wrote, there were a few hiccups from time to time, right? Nowadays, it's getting really better. The last application that I published was SBB Mobile, the new version, version 1. We had it approved in, I think, 2 days. So it was really, and it's not because it's SBB, because SBB for Microsoft doesn't really mean something, right, for Microsoft in the US. What I mean is that it's a normal firm for them. So 2 days, I think, is something which is fairly okay for an update. You can have a longer approval process, and I know exactly one case of an application which was removed from the marketplace. But in that particular case, the guy who was making the application is actually a Silverlight MVP, and they talked, and he actually knows now why the application was removed. It was a problem because of use protection, etc. Not that the application was doing anything bad, but it was showing random image from Twitter. And, you know, Twitter is not safe for young people. So, okay? So the approval process is not bad at all, okay? And it is, the few hiccups that we had in the beginning are getting even better. Okay, time to eat. If you have more questions, come and see me. I will be very happy to see them. There are a few T-shirts here. So if you want to get a free T-shirt, come and get it. Thank you.